Hey there, I'm Ann Davis. This is Desert Air, a show that turns the mic on real Las Vegans, from your neighbors to local newsmakers. In this episode, Desert Companion contributor Lisa Townsend Rogers sits down with controversial tech pundit and journalist Ed Zitrin. He shares his thoughts on what he sees as the tenuous future of artificial intelligence, his plans for upcoming creative projects, and why he's grown to love calling Las Vegas home.
Ed Zitrin, welcome to Desert Air.
Thanks for having me.
What was your experience with tech as a kid or as a young person? How did this sort of become part of your life?
So I didn't really have friends until like the age of 19. I didn't get on well at school. I was the dumbest kid in private school and did not have friends. Horrible place I went to actually in London. And so tech really was my lifeline. I was big into gaming from like single digit ages. I was online at like 10 or 11. My dad let me for whatever reason. I worked out for me. I don't know if I would let a child on that early. But I was very connected. I was fascinated by the fact that you could connect with people all over the world. I was fascinated that you could play games with them. I played Ultima Online, EverQuest, that kind of thing. And I was actually a games journalist at 16. Mm-hmm. One of the first people to cover online gaming, like as in MMORPGs, like World of Warcraft and the like, in England. And so, yeah, tech was a big part of my childhood. A childhood that I did not enjoy pretty much any of other than technology. So tech has always been important to me.
So is that kind of why, out of all the many outrages and grifts and horrors in the world, what's been happening to technology? Is that sort of a personal thing for you then?
Oh, absolutely. I hate these bastards. I said in an episode, I'll never forgive them for what they've done to the computer. And I stand by that because there's no reason it has to be like this other than the fact that everything has to grow at all times. We must have more revenue growth every single quarter. And because there's no real regulation or any kind of like digital EPA, there's nothing stopping them from making these products worse. If you look at the current people running these companies, Sam Altman, OpenAI, not a coder, not a technical guy, Satya Nadella, MBA, Tim Cook, MBA of Apple, Andy Jassy of Amazon, MBA, they're all MBAs. They all love having business degrees and talking big business. They don't know anything about technology. Mark Zuckerberg, not an MBA, however, has not written a line of code since 2006. So these people have no connection to code, to software. They don't care. They don't use their own products. They don't care about them. They just see them as financial things that they can move around, chess pieces, except they barely understand the rules of chess.
Do you think that they kind of know that they're making all this stuff worse and just don't care? Or do you think like they actually believe like, yes, make better this, what I did to your app. Isn't that better? You know, don't you like Copilot sitting there?
They know. They 100% know. Mark Zuckerberg demanded 12% year-over-year perpetual growth. And you had people inside Facebook at the time, now called Meta, saying, hey, look, by making these changes, we are going to give people less useful notifications. We're going to piss people off. They knew that having the likes button on Instagram made teen girls depressed. Then they decided not to take it off because it would reduce engagement, and then lied publicly and said it did nothing. They know they do not care.
As people get more frustrated, though, I mean, how can they keep the number going up? I mean, I know that I've stopped using Google search because I just got fed up with it. I'm not alone in that.
So we're approaching a point where they're going to start finding out. Number is still going up. Yeah. Revenue's still going up. But you're seeing weird cracks in it. Google search is so bad now, and the AI results are extreme. They're making things worse. On top of that, the large language models that run those things, those searches, mm-hmm. those AI overviews, they're expensive to run. And they're not producing more revenue. So you're watching the tech industry kind of get desperate. And the AI bubble is a big part of that.
Yeah, could you sort of, for the listener who is going AI bubble, what? Could you maybe sort of explain
Absolutely.
A little bit what that is?
So if you look at the news, you look at everything, everyone's saying AI is going to take all our jobs. If you look even an inch below that, you'll see that the data behind this is complete nonsense. Dario Amodei, CEO of Anthropic, a large language model company, competitor with OpenAI, he claimed that 50% of white-collar jobs will be gone in the next 1 to 5 years.
What is striking to me about this AI boom is that it's bigger and it's broader and it's moving faster than anything has before. And so compared to previous technology changes, I'm a little bit more worried about the labor impact simply because it's happening so fast that yes, people will adapt, but they may not adapt fast enough. And so there may be an adjustment period.
But the AI bubble is quite simple. All of these companies are claiming that large language models, the things underpinning OpenAI, ChatGPT, and the like, is the next big thing. It's going to change everything. The problem is the actual efficacy of these things, the actual abilities of these programs have been the same for about 2 years now. It has really not done much more than being able to summarize and generate images, code. You can generate computer code. And a really common one as well is that people will say, well, this will replace software engineers. Important detail. Software engineers do not just code. They also do other things. In fact, code is not the majority of the job. The AI bubble is a hysterical event where these companies try and pretend and lie, straight up lie, about what their products can do in the hopes that they can keep boosting their stock valuations. So you've got all of these companies, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, and the like, spending hundreds of billions of dollars in capital expenditures to build these massive data centers and filling them full of these GPUs sold by one company, NVIDIA. And the problem is, no one's making any money. In fact, these things are extremely unprofitable. OpenAI in 2024 spent $9 billion to lose $5 billion.
Wow.
Imagine if you or I did that. Would we be able to get more money or would the bank lock the door? It's just, it's a farce.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to people who, other journalists or people in other vaguely creative professions where, you know, the boss is trying to force AI, like, can you use it for research? Can you use it for this? Can you use it for that? And they're literally saying, this doesn't help me. I mean, how much of this is, again, the executive class sort of going, oh, that doesn't really understand what these people are doing, going, oh, shiny toys save money. Uh-huh. Here, use, use, use. Is that kind of some of what's happening?
So here? I have this grander theory called the business idiot. Okay. I believe our economy and large structures behind us, the people in power, are completely disconnected from any kind of production or understanding of their customer.
MBAs.
MBAs, but not just MBAs, because it's different. It's the middle managers that you hate. The people that don't seem to do anything but always seem busy. The people that ask you to do things such as use Copilot for some reason. It will do research, right? These people don't know what research is, so they think, wow, I told ChatGPT to do deep research, and it came up with 5,000 words. That's impressive. They don't know what's going on. So they just, they're like the people inside the cave that Plato talked about. They see the shadow, oh, AI's big now. That's quite something. And I think you're seeing now a war between the business idiots and those of us who actually do work. Because, yeah, I've heard so many stories about bosses telling people to use AI. Why don't the bosses use them? If the AI is so good, why don't you do it? Because it doesn't work. And even if it did work, you wouldn't know how. But it doesn't work. The main paradigm that all of this is built on is large language models. It's not super, it is technical, but I can explain it simply. They are probabilistic, which means that they generate the next thing based on how likely it's the right one. So if you ask it for an image of a cat, these things don't have consciousness. They don't know anything. So it says, I've been asked for a picture of a cat. It will say, based on my training data, this is the thing that approximates cat. And it's pretty good at guessing. But it is guessing because it doesn't know stuff. So when you get hallucinations, those authoritative statements that aren't true, it has no concept of anything. It's basically chatbots. The reason that they're petering out and they're plateauing is because they're trying to make a chatbot do everything. They're stapling things to chatbots and then being shocked as the chatbot cannot really do it. And look, if you need my proof, look at the fact that there aren't really any products. What is the thing? ChatGPT has all of these users. They have hundreds of millions of users. And people think that that proves something other than the fact that every single media outlet has been talking about AI for 3 years and mentioning one company. Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to use it. It's also free and they lose money with every single user. Crazy stuff.
How much of this has sort of been created and boosted by the tech media, and why are they so gullible?
I would say 80% of it has been, and the answer is manifold. The people, the editorial class above the tech media right now has failed. And so you've got so many tech journalists that just are not educated in how to even investigate the basic things, to actually understand the basic economics, and they're educated to follow the markets, to follow what the market is excited about, because they're like, well, we should tell our readers what the markets are excited about. You should tell your readers the goddamn truth. You can read the comment sections of these outlets, and you'll see people saying, I'm tired of this crap. I'm so tired of this. This doesn't make sense. And I think that just the tech media is worried about pissing people off, which I've never really understood. Good for me, I guess. I get to do my job and seem unique doing it. But they keep falling for it because they just think the powerful wouldn't lie to them, that the powerful wouldn't lie to the public, that the powerful wouldn't possibly overstate their abilities, despite them always having done so. If you see any headline telling you that AI is taking jobs, go and look a little bit deeper. Every time, look a little bit deeper. Look and make sure it isn't just a guy saying it. And if it is a guy saying it, ask yourself, why is that guy saying it? What does he have to gain? Because the reporters aren't going to do it for you.
What happens when the bubble pops?
Could be a number of ways. It really, really comes down to how it pops. It could pop with real scare things coming out of OpenAI and Anthropic. OpenAI has to run out of money. They just got another loan. It took 21 banks. It's all insane. If it breaks, it's probably going to break with one of the hyperscalers, Microsoft, Meta, Google, Amazon, saying we're pulling back. They won't say it like we're done with AI, but they'll say we're reallocating resources to focus on more go-to-market operations, blah, 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 blah. So I have a theory called the rock-com bubble, which is the reason they're all going crazy with AI. Same reason they went that, well, it's really just Meta who did it with the metaverse, is they don't have any other ideas. Do you see them talking about anything else? Do you see any other growth thing? Do you see any other idea that they've got that they've pushed? They don't have anything. So they will push AI up the hill as hard as they can, as far as they can, because once they have to admit that AI is bupkis, they will have to admit that they spent hundreds of billions of dollars on data centers, which they're going to do anyway, and then admit that they don't have another growth mechanism, because they don't. And at that point, truly, no idea, because tech has always had something. Tech has always had a next big thing. What if they don't?
You've done books on PR. Would you do a book on this whole...
I have one coming out next year.
Does it have a title yet?
Yes, Why Everything Stopped Working, coming out from Penguin Random House. And it's going to be exactly what it sounds like. The beginning is a history of growth, a history of how we got here, what I call the rot economy, the growth at all costs thing that took over everything, going back to the 70s of Milton Friedman through to OpenAI today. And then the rest of it is going to be, why do I get scam calls? Why are there ads everywhere? Why does AI not do what... Why is Google broken? Why is Facebook broken? Why are algorithms so messed up? And I really think that the tech industry has missed something here. They don't realize how pissed people are and how frustrated they are with everything. If you look at Facebook, look at Instagram, they're like Escher paintings. You try and they actively interfere with the process of using them. We are no longer users, we are being used.
What do you like about living in Las Vegas, and what don't you like about living in Las Vegas?
I don't really have friends here. So if you want to be friends, reach out. And I don't know. I really like living here because it's convenient. I have an addiction to Diet Coke, and that's really about it. I don't really gamble. I've never done hard drugs or anything like that. I enjoy chilling out and relaxing, and the weather here is great. I know it gets hot. Whatever. Get a fan.
Yeah.
Get a mister. It's fine. I used to live in North Carolina. That place is muggy as hell. I know. And London as well. Awful place. I like how convenient Vegas is. I like that this is one of the best food cities in the world. And people are still sleeping on it, which is great. Keeps the prices down. I think that this is also a very honest town. It's a working class town. It's like everyone works. No one's weird because everyone's weird. You get people here who have been through the ringer, who have had really hard times. And the city treats them the same. You got money, fine, we'll treat you a little nicer as long as you still have it. There is an honesty to it, which I really appreciate, and it's very labor heavy. I appreciate that. It feels like both a fake and a real city at the same time. And also, I really like hosting, and Vegas is great for hosting. I have my nephew in town from London and just been showing him around. It's been lovely. And also, the service here is incredible across the board.
Well, okay, thank you so much for talking to us. Enjoy your day in Vegas.
Yeah, my absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was Ed Citrin, tech journalist based in Las Vegas, talking to Desert Companion contributor Lisa Townsend Rogers. And this is Desert Air, the best of Desert Companion magazine for your ears. And it's all done by the talented folks at Nevada Public Radio. You're able to hear this without ads because of listener support. You can find more on this story and how to keep others like it coming at knpr.org. I'm your host, Ann Davis. Thanks for listening.